You're listening to The Comedy Cellar, live from the table on the Riotcast Network, riotcast.com.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to The Comedy Cellar Show here on Sirius XM Channel 99. We're here at the back table of The Comedy Cellar. My name is Noam Dorman. I'm the owner of The Comedy Cellar. I'm here with my best friend on planet Earth, Mr. Dan Natterman, sitting next to me.
Thank you.
Co-hosting. And we have two comedians sitting in right now, Mr. Rich Voss, who just walking by.
Yes.
And
He's
married to Bonnie McFarlane. And
yes, that was good. I am married to her,
and the star of the new Kevin Hart produced animated show, Mr. Keith Robinson, is here with us today. Now Keith never does podcasts, but
he always does them. But he comes over and puts his two cents in.
Disrupts,
generally speaking.
I disrupt a lot.
I just want one quick point. Just wanted to
go ahead.
With regard to us doing a podcast on opening week in Vegas,
yes,
if we're going to do that, I would need to know sooner rather than later, such that I can put it in my book.
Well, you don't want to cancel those synagogues, huh?
Well, no, I don't, but I don't happen to have any. But if one comes through, I wouldn't want to cancel it.
Well, okay, we should get to
right
that.
Right now, we need
yeah, because it's a Comedy Cellar podcast, and all things Comedy Cellar podcast related.
But don't you
related.
Discuss that off air?
We
Why
could.
Discuss it on air?
We don't talk off air.
Because I think it's interesting.
I thought you were best friends.
That was just shtick. So listen.
I think it's... First of all, the Vegas room is something we've been discussing over several weeks. So
You've been discussing it.
Well, here on the podcast, we've been discussing it. So what I like to do is the listeners come back and they say, what's going on with the Vegas room? You know, they like to know what's going on with the different sorts of things.
So you basically want to know, are you being booked at the Vegas
room? No, I don't need to be booked.
But while I'm there, you know.
No, not while I'm there. I don't need to be booked. Have you booked the first week yet?
Yes, I think we did.
Okay.
I don't know.
I'm going to talk to Noam and try to set up an audition for you in Vegas.
Well, that's Liz, and then we'll get on with the show.
His stuff is so funny on Sirius Radio. They play you so much. You must be making a fortune.
No, they don't play me that much.
Oh, they do. They do.
They play a lot of Natterman on Sirius Radio?
I'm telling you.
I made you a star, Dan.
I have to cut off my radio at least four times a day.
That's fantastic.
They play him a lot. Raw Dog.
Well, I'm on Raw Dog a lot.
No, please. Kevin Hart did not get you on Raw Dog. He's on Raw Dog on his own merits.
No.
Well, I didn't know it. I mean, my royalties from... Sound Exchange haven't gone up, so I don't know.
You know? No, you got it.
Just while she's here, did we book the first week in Vegas? Your mic is off. plug that in, Liz. You know how to do that?
Yes. This is a very professional
podcast. She's nervous. Look at her. Her hands are shaking. Okay, go ahead.
It's
Liz, our GM.
It's booked, sort of, but not really.
Can we get Natterman on? Because we want to do a podcast the first week out of Vegas.
I don't hear Liz.
Go ahead, Liz.
Keith.
Okay.
Can you hear me, Keith?
Now I can hear you.
All right. So, it's booked, but I mean, we could try.
Yeah, try
it
to
depends.
Get see,
well,
see if you can get
SD, it makes the final decision, I imagine. But I don't need to be
Doesn't
on.
Doesn't Noam make the... He's the owner, right?
Yes, he is.
No.
But,
so...
Noam's
a wimp.
I'm a figurehead.
He doesn't want... Noam will not disrupt SD's authority except under extreme circumstances. Because...
Really?
Yes. I think. Isn't that how it's done here?
That is it. Yeah, Your Honor. Buffers. We got plenty of buffers, Your Honor. You know, like in the Godfather. I gotta have somebody between me and any of the decisions. It can't be traced back to the...
No one will intervene if really necessary in extreme circumstances. But generally speaking...
There's a hit, you cannot trace it back to me. That's all I'm saying.
That's true.
I do all the time.
Look, Keith, can I say something? I mean, I think I've told this to Keith before.
You know, quit.
Keith may be the only, like, if I walk into the Olive Tree and I see a comedian sitting alone at the back table, I do not think I will go over and sit with them unless it's Keith. I think he's the only comedian I feel like I just go sit there and it doesn't matter, just chill out, whatever it
there
is.
There you go.
I think that he's my favorite comedian.
Oh, my God.
not his performance.
Whoa.
Oh, my God.
You know, that's a little bit true, though.
Holy shit.
And isn't that funny? Like, not that
you're sitting right next to Dan, as you
no,
say
actually,
this.
Actually, Dan, too. Dan, no, I'll sit alone
no,
with him.
No, it's too late.
But But the
and
truth
Dan,
is,
Dan is hurt. Dan
he is. Dejected,
I'm not
quiet.
Hurt. As long as I get invited to the steak dinners that we have.
The point is that with most comedians, even if I've known them 20, 25 years, if I sit alone with them, it's awkward for me. They're on. There's like
yeah.
With Keith, I just say, well, how you doing, man? And then, of course, we're the only two who sees certain issues the way we can't
that's
say it
right.
out loud.
The Me Too issue. we both agree on a Me Too.
You had no problem sitting alone with me when you asked 1,000 questions about Vegas when we discussed
that. That was business.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
That wasn't like a personal call.
I'm not saying I won't. I don't know you as well as I know Keith. I mean, you know, I know you a little bit. I'm comfortable with you. But there's something about Keith that's for whatever reason, even though he's from a different world and everything, he kind
whoa.
Of.
Oh my God.
What world am I from?
Philly.
A different one.
Yeah, because he can't hit you with his right hand if he doesn't disagree.
Oh, you son
of a stroke. But,
and he wrote a joke on my and he tried it out on me.
No, Keith reminds me of one of my friends. That's just like Keith is kind of like the people I've been friends with in my life. Kind of.
I understand that.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'm black.
Huh?
Yeah.
No, actually.
How many black friends do you really have, Noam?
I got one, actually.
I got one.
I've had
Innes doesn't count.
No, I've had a bunch of black friends in my life. You're my black friend. Yeah, black friend.
Well,
look at my African American. but I've had one like really, really close black friend, like in the circle of like, you know, or six closest friends. Wig, you know Wig?
Yes, I know.
He and I were really close
he
friends.
He went like, nuts, though.
Yeah. Well. No, he's okay now. But no. I'm saying he and I were like really, like best friends, you know, like
who
really.
Was it?
Yeah,
who was it?
Wig. He was a waiter and bartender. He used to work here years ago.
You have any friends that you currently just call on the phone and have long conversations with?
No, I don't talk on the phone with anybody. You talk on the phone?
I have a couple people with whom I talk on the phone.
I mean, Ray Allen likes to talk on the phone. I don't like to talk to him.
Robert
anyway,
Kelly
so Keith,
doesn't call you?
Before this feminist lady comes over, tell us what...
She's not really feminist.
Oh, she's not?
I don't think she's that feminist.
Okay, right. tell us a little bit about the Kevin Hart thing.
Well, the Kevin Hart thing is an anime. I play a dog named Chomsky, a pit bull.
Method actor.
And
this is the Keith Robertson character.
I needed that Robertson to
Robertson?
Save me.
Exactly. He's avoiding a Me Too thing.
yeah,
you did. So go ahead.
That
so,
actually saved me. So I played a pit bull named Chomsky. I'm Kevin's mentor, you know,
and
as a dog.
What character is Kevin? He's a dog
he's
also?
He's little Kev.
But
Kev
he's a dog?
Is little Kev. No, he's,
oh,
he's a little boy
okay.
going to school at this time, having a hard time in school, and I got to give him some advice.
Okay, we got our...
Hi, come sit down.
Katie.
And we'll, so go
I'll
ahead, Keith. So how? First of all, this is what I want to know. How long was this in the works before you know each other?
Yes, I know her.
How long was this in the works before
we all
it
know
came
Katie.
Through? I mean, you knew this was going on for how long?
About a year.
And you never mentioned it?
No.
I guess we're not such good friends.
No, but you just...
No,
you
I'm
know,
just kidding. Yeah, I know. You don't want to jinx
it. You wait for things to go. Not even that. You wait... Huh?
Liz, he's on the radio. Go ahead. Oh, you're talking about Liz, huh?
Liz, yeah.
Oh, thanks.
Because Liz is money hungry. I knew that.
So, and I mean, but if it's a Kevin Hart project, you know it's going to get picked up.
Yeah.
It's not, yeah. So that's great.
Yeah.
Well, what's it going to be on?
What, Fox.
Oh, Fox.
On and Fox, they have that great news channel that you love.
Well, yeah, if they it's a little more things got to be done before it's actually done. So a little bit more things got to fall into place.
So you haven't actually shot
like
any? I mean, you haven't done any of the...
No, we did a presentation.
Did a presentation.
Yeah. Right. And it was good. My
so,
voice
so
is
it's,
good.
So it's that pilot. It's
a pilot.
It's in a pilot stage.
Let me introduce Katie.
Go ahead. Do your thing.
Katie Lazarus is a writer and host of the podcast Employee of the Month, which I just listened to on the way to work. Produced by Slate Magazine. Lazarus has also written for the New York Times Magazine, Funny or Die, IFC, The Atlantic, Monthly, Good and Clear. Bust magazine? Is that
that's like super feminist.
But is that a bust like bust or bust like bust?
Like breasts.
Oh, it's like a double entendre.
Teats. Like teats.
Teats. And still owes several thank you notes from her bat mitzvah. Where are you going, Keith?
He's gotta go on.
Oh, he's gotta go on. All right. So
should we all go with him?
No, we don't need to.
To go with it? So come on, because I need plausible deniability for some feminist issues here, Rich.
Voz, that's great. He's a leading feminist.
No.
He was at the head of the Women's March.
Well, his wife is quite a feminist.
I know.
You know? Yeah.
Bonnie's amazing.
But
did you see her kill on Fallon last week?
No, I didn't see her kill.
Killed on it Thursday night. It's on YouTube, I think. Yeah,
she killed on something here recently. I don't remember what it was.
The pilot you guys
did. The pilot. Yeah, yo, she's in it, actually. I think she's in the pilot. In the pilot.
I always look at it.
All right. So, Katie.
Yes, sir.
So, I listen to your podcast, and this is what I got from it. First of all, you're a comedian?
No.
Oh, you're
I'm
not a
writer.
Comedian. So how come everybody knows you?
Because I used to do stand-up.
You used to be a comedian.
Aggravated.
I was one of the first people to discourage her.
She stole.
Actually, that's a great story.
She stole a macaroon from me.
That is true. But, these are all true stories.
But I heard you on with Rebecca Traister.
Yeah.
Now, she's been on this show.
Oh, okay, yeah. Wow.
And believe me, she had a much better experience on your show than she had on
our show.
Because I read her stuff, and I was like pounding her for things she had written and stuff like that and trying to find things. And you guys were like, yeah, men suck, yeah, and white men are the worst. And you guys were like really like
I would like to say that it's not just white men that suck.
No, I say only white men.
I didn't even see Keith behind
But you guys had a left-wing love fest, and that's fine. Yeah. But I just want to ask a question. But before I ask a question to the table, I want to say something.
A socialist love fest.
All right. So you know that if you want to view the situation of someone who's murdered, let's say, and you want to make sure that they're treated fairly, or you want to examine the law and whatever. Nobody accuses you of being pro-murder or soft on murder, bless you, or anything like that. However, I find with some of this latest stuff in the news, if you have the nerve to want to think about it analytically, people will assume, you don't care about, like the Woody Allen thing, you don't care about child molestation? No, it's not that I don't care about child molestation. There are other issues. So now, I want to talk about this guy.
It's only certain children.
What's that?
It's only certain children.
It's only certain children. So I want to talk about this guy. What's his name? Porter. What's his first name?
Rob Porter.
Rob Porter. Now, what's your take on the Rob Porter thing? Rob Porter
is the one who was accused of domestic violence.
Yes, he's the one who got
by both ex-wives.
By both ex-wives, yeah.
Yeah, I think what makes me sad is like there is no due process, and the due process is awful. Like there is no incentive to ever want to go through the due process. I don't know if you've ever looked into what it's like to be.
I mean, for the wife, for the woman who's been
for the person who has been abused. So I just feel. I feel like sad on one level of like it is fundamentally almost impossible to get a fair case, and then on this second level, it just feels like chaos is what I would say.
Right now in today's climate, you think it's impossible to get a case?
Well, like right now we're all talking about things and people are getting fired, you know, but they're not. But I'm talking about like court. Like I was talking about like actually going through like what we need is you want to feel as a person that you could go to the judicial system and it would actually listen to your case. You know that that's not true as a black person, and I would say that's true for women of
any. Stop trying to appeal to my black side.
I won't. I'll stop there.
Come on, brother. You know the cops.
Well, no. It's statistically. It doesn't matter. It's statistics. Like statistically, if you look at what happens for women, and it's been a long time.
Talking to Mike, Miss
Lazarus.
Ms. has her own podcast and understands the microphone situation. Yes. Go ahead. Sorry, didn't mean to be disrespectful. Go ahead.
I don't give a shit. Are we allowed to? We're allowed to.
Yes. By all means, it's better.
Cut it out.
So that's my frustration is that there is no due process to actually have.
With Rob Porter, are you talking about?
I just meant generally. I just meant like if for you to like generally. Instead, it like ends up going on the internet and going on these kinds of things, or instead of actually being.
This is what it brought up to me, and then you tell me the thing. Now, I understand you cannot have a guy in the White House who has next to a photo of the wife he gave a black eye to. I understand that is a bridge too far.
Are you pro spousal abuse? I just want to know.
I knew you were going to say that. So,
who's not?
But my question is this: Let's. I'm just wondering what is the lesson of this? For instance, this dude behind the bar, right now. Mike, right? What if I were to find out that 10 years ago he gave his wife a black eye? What would you, as a woman who cares about these issues, and I care about them, what would you think is my required course of action? Would you expect me to fire him? What would you think I ought to do?
Like a theoretical that I cannot answer.
It's a very important question because when I see a guy, when I see a
why like, is the onus on me to answer it? Because I'm a female or because I'm
no, a feminist? I asked men and women.
No,
this question.
We've had the same discussion numerous times.
It's because you're the guest.
Got it.
But yeah, we've discussed like, this. In fact, Noam had a Facebook discussion with this very question recently. Just when you think Noam's out of the Facebook debate game.
But
the
reason I asked you, because I believe you've thought about these issues and they're important to you. Yeah. They are very important issues.
It kind of goes back to that due process thing that, like, I wish that there was more prioritizing. I wish that we could have a discussion and say, okay, like, here, there's a zillion issues going on at once. Like, can we prioritize what we need to focus on?
Are you ducking my question?
Not ducking it. It's trying to answer it in a thoughtful way.
Right, but in the end, you got to tell me what
he's fine, right?
If I find out that someone who worked for me, had, and it's very sad, had either I'm convinced it's true. Let's take the tougher cases. He denies it, but let's say I saw the picture. I believe he beat his wife 10 years ago. Now he's working for me. What do I do?
I don't know. I tend to believe the survivor. Like, that tends to be where I am because most people don't.
He's admitting it's true.
Oh, he's admitting that it's true. And have they rectified the situation?
He apologized, and he hasn't hit anybody in 5 years. I don't know.
Well, then you have to also look. I mean, right? Like, we don't have a rehabilitative prison system. And I feel like this is where it goes back to, like, having, like, nuanced conversations. And, like, if someone's rehabilitated and, you know, he and his wife are not violently hitting each other right now, and he's not hitting anyone right now.
Well, now you're describing the Porter situation.
Porter is a little different, right? Like, Porter is, he said, now two wives come out against him.
But it was a while ago, and he hasn't done it since. And the wife even said she didn't want to see him lose his job.
That's fine. I think that what's hard there is it brings up the fact that, like, Trump, that we have someone in office who absolutely, like, rejects the basic rights.
Right, but that's not Porter's fault.
No, I know, but that's why it becomes so contentious. That's why it's spilling out into all of these other areas.
Right, but you see what I'm getting. It's tough because, and I said on Facebook, like, let's say I find out he's doing it now. He had a big fight with his wife yesterday and he hit her. Now, do I fire him? If I fire him, does that mean nobody should hire him? Should he become a ward of the state? You actually touched on it at the beginning, and actually, I actually agree with you, and this is always the problem, which is that...
That agreeing with me is the problem?
No, the legal system is what's letting us down. Because the legal system can call witnesses, investigate, punish, whatever it is. Me as a boss, I really don't want anybody to expect me to start wielding... I can ruin people's lives.
Well, whose life is being ruined because they can't serve borscht anymore?
No, a comedian. I could ruin a comedian's life. No. I'm not...
You're not
gonna,
a good fiber.
And you're not going to ruin...
It's only fiber in Eastern European or Jewish food.
I'll work at the new club on the Upper West Side.
It's a tremendous power to have somebody lose their job or their profession. And the thing is that if I'm expected to pass judgment on people for things they do in their private lives, I'm going to get it wrong.
There's also a diffusion of responsibility there.
It's not my responsibility.
But doesn't the White House have a blame in this?
I don't know.
Because they should have vetted him properly?
Yes.
Well, they did vet him, apparently, and he denied it.
No. They knew. The FBI came to them and said that's a guy
that is a blackmail
who's
risk.
Compromised.
Yes.
And he's a blackmail risk. Yeah. Yeah. And they still hired him. Yeah. So they neglected their duty of what they should do.
I started out by saying I recognize the White House cannot have this guy.
Right.
Well, yeah. But I'm wondering if that's because of, you know, he's a blackmail risk and because of the appearance, it looks terrible.
Do you not news black, please?
All right. African-American male list. But I'm wondering, for instance, we see this in big corporations. Like, if the vice president of Google had the same situation, Google would probably be pressured to fire him.
Yeah.
And I'm just wondering, like, I've been in these situations. I've had people come to me and accuse someone of rape or this or that or stealing, you know, all kinds of things. And I've always been like, I don't know how to handle it because I can't investigate. I can't call witnesses. They're denying it.
Heath is a tax cheat.
Absolutely. And then the other thing is that, and I don't know.
In his defense, he's a proud one.
He's like Wesley Snipes. The thing is that, and this is probably, I'm not alone here. I know people who have been in violent, you know, have hit women. I know people have hit their children.
I hit my kid. So what? You going to fire me?
Give me the lineup and a pen, please.
It's interesting to me to have a conversation with people talking from the side of the perpetrator. And I think because
talking from the side of the person who has to pass judgment.
Yeah, but you're also talking about defending the perpetrators.
No.
Like, you're not talking about someone coming to you and saying, I have been raped by X, right? You're saying that someone...
No, I'm talking about somebody coming to me and expecting me to fill the shoes of really what the justice system is supposed to fill.
Yeah.
And the problem, doesn't mean me and the justice system, is that the justice system can force somebody to testify. They have resources to investigate,
DNA.
To take both sides
of the
story.
Well, there's two separate questions.
I have nothing but somebody's word.
You could learn what you're supposed to do in these kinds of cases. Like, I mean, there's two different questions. Like, one is there's a moral compass. No, it's not. I could never know. So, okay, you can have a moral compass.
No, I could never know if two people, one word, when it's one person's word against the other,
right, but
I
you can
never know.
You can say, like, if this is a problem, here's where you go to get a rape kit. Here's where you go to talk to this person.
Oh,
like,
I did that. I've done that. Yeah.
I mean,
and they didn't want it.
In all decisions, you know, when you decide whether to hire somebody in the first place, you're making decisions based on incomplete evidence. Such is the lot of the boss that he has to make decisions on incomplete evidence.
I can make that choice, and I have made those choices. As the boss, I have the right at will employee to do whatever. And if I feel that this person makes me uncomfortable, I will let them go. But now something's changed. Now society has kind of come to the point where they say, if they find out that I have decided not to fire somebody like that, now all of a sudden I have to answer, hey, why didn't you do that? Why do you have a guy working for you who hit his wife 5 years ago?
In very rare cases will
that's where we're heading.
Care what you do with a bartender or a waitress.
This is a difference. Somebody will take to Twitter now and say, so-and-so did something to me, and now I'm in the comedy cell that refuses to fire them. And people will get riled and say, why didn't you fire them?
I'm skeptical.
Aren't they to be believed?
I'm skeptical that it will ever come to that, where somebody is forcing you to fire a bartender because he has some domestic...
reputation. No. Yeah. It's getting closer and closer, though. That's what he's saying.
As far as Aziz working here, you're quite right. There probably would be.
So then we're not far away from it.
But Aziz is a very high profile.
What he's saying is, it's getting closer and closer.
Yeah.
As a bartender. In other words...
Well, I know he's saying we're getting closer and closer.
Wait a minute. The Comedy Cellar in itself is a brand. It's a big name.
Yeah.
So if a bartender's doing something, they would go with him. It's not that far that they believe that they go with him and say, well, if the owner allowed this to happen.
I think we're a long way from a large public pressure being brought to bear on Noam because a bartender hit his wife and Noam's not firing him.
I think you're wrong with that.
Well,
let's take another example, a high profile. Mark Halperin. Now, Mark Halperin, he was this journalist who, when he was at ABC, was like poking his dick and stuff. You know what I mean.
I do it all the time.
Describe us for it. Like, describe your method.
Well, I have a... No.
But this is the thing which makes it... This is the interesting thing about that case. Then, according to what I've read, now there may be facts we don't know, but according to the facts on record, he realized he had a problem. He went and got therapy about this for many, many years, and there has not been a reported case of it since he went to work for NBC. Now, you can roll your eyes, but that's all we know about.
I'm so glad that he did that. I'm so glad that he got therapy. I'm so glad that he's, like, trying to get better. Like, I you know...
Should he not work?
It's not a question of should he not work.
It is, because he's not working.
First of all, we have no idea whether he's going to be fine in a couple of years and he'll be working again.
But will you support the people who hire him again or not? Do you think he should work?
I mean, what makes me sad is more that, like, you know, when you talk about, like, Mark Halperin or someone like Harvey Weinstein, I'm just going to...
No, Harvey Weinstein is another. But go ahead.
Okay. Well, all I'm going to say is,
the justice system is going to take care of Harvey Weinstein.
I hope
so. I hope they do.
But I feel bad for all of the people whose careers got sidelined or sidetracked because of this
person.
Of course,
but that's just not what we're talking about, but yeah.
But that is part of it, right? And so, like, that's where I'm feeling
No, I'll tell you why it's not part of it. Because when you talk about the rights of an accused criminal...
Yeah.
People bring up the victims, and it's a distraction to focusing on the rights of the accused. We take it as a given that the murderer or the rapist or whatever in the justice system has done something terrible and has a victim.
Well, you have rights,
that's
too.
That's not true. We're in a system that theoretically is supposed to say that you are innocent until proven guilty. And if you look at the statistics on how many women's cases actually get proven, if you go through it, it's actually very, very difficult.
I'll give you a better example. They come in without a warrant, and they get DNA that proves beyond a doubt
where it was screwed up.
No, this happens all the time, though. This happens all the time. They come in without a warrant, and they catch and they get the evidence that catches the whatever it is, the assaulter.
Yeah.
And then it turns out they didn't have a warrant, and the ACLU says, listen, you have to let this guy go. the evidence was tainted. That's not because they don't care about his victim. And so what about the victim? It's like, please, yes, of course the victim's important, but that's not what we're going to focus on here. We want to focus on the procedure, because without these procedures, it bad things happen to innocent people. Bad, and that's why you have to focus on it. They say good cases make bad law. I mean, you know, and there's a lot, just like every, there's just like a, everybody's out with the pitchforks because there's a tremendous, like, cathartic feeling that finally these fucking guys are getting what they've always deserved. And I'm for that. I've always been very intolerant of anything, any type of sexual harassment in any place I ever owned. I'm like, I really, you'd be, you don't know me. I am not on the wrong side of this. But I'm also aware that, say, what is being demanded now of employers? How long after the guy poked his dick at somebody in ABC does he remain radioactive? What if he denies it? What if there's no standards? It's just, should Bill Clinton now resign from the Clinton Foundation?
You know,
the only answer is yes, of course. That's the only answer.
I feel like it's a totally realistic discussion to have in terms of this, because they're theoretical and yeah, sure. We can talk about it.
You should be calling for his head. There's no difference between Porter and Bill Clinton, except Bill Clinton did much worse. Right? Bill Clinton raped a woman.
Oh. That's alleged.
As much as Porter. I mean, the evidence of Juanita.
Wait a minute.
The evidence of Juanita Broderick.
Yes.
Is overwhelming. Yeah. She reported it at
the time. I'm not disagreeing with her case.
So why is he not the target doubly that Porter is today? I don't understand that.
I want to get back to the bartender situation.
There's no answer to that. I'll tell you the answer. It's politics. The answer is it's politics.
No,
and what we're seeing here is politics.
I think it's more than politics. I think it's just time. We're living a different time than we were living at.
But
Bill
he's
Clinton.
Still out there serving on chairman on board, chair, boards of companies.
That may change.
But I'm saying it won't change. Who is calling
it's
for his head?
It's the same reason why, you know.
Only Sean Hannity, but that's not going to get anywhere, right?
And you.
And me. I'm just calling for consistency. Really.
Well, none of us have consistency.
Consistency is like Trump is president now.
Yeah.
And after being on tapes saying how he, you know, that he, how he sexually harasses
look how
women.
He's changing what he says when we're alone.
No. No, he took notes.
Look,
he
no, you know how it is. No,
Keith, get out of here. No, I'm done with you.
You want consistency.
Yeah.
But you don't exercise consistency. For example, when a comedian
man.
That you don't like doesn't dress right for New Year's Eve, you freak out.
Why is that not consistency?
Because if anybody else, if somebody that you adore didn't dress right for New Year's Eve, you wouldn't care.
No, that's not true. That is absolutely not true.
I wouldn't relish it.
But
you wouldn't rant and rave like a lunatic.
So we gather that we're all basically phonies.
The point is, we all let people slide that we like. If you like somebody, let them slide. It's just human nature.
That is the complicated part. That right there, like that you hit on, is like, oh, I can say, oh, but he's a good person. You know, and I think the hard part is when we're deciding by, like, ourselves, like, whether someone's guilty or innocent, we don't know the full story.
That's right.
But you know what people could do? Like, I disagree with you on, like, Alec Baldwin speaking out about Woody Allen. You know what I would do in that case? Not say something. If I don't know the answer, it is okay to say, I don't know. I wasn't there.
Okay, well, that's interesting, Alec Baldwin, because funny, and this, you could even look up our old shows. I have always been on the side that Woody Allen did it. Have I not?
I guess.
Not really. Oh, no, you've been swaying a little bit.
No.
And I want to say that
you
I love Woody Allen's movies.
Of course.
Like, and that was like, you know, it is painful. This is painful with Cosby. These are painful.
They're just fucking with me. I read the
Cosby
court papers.
Cosby was great with Cosby. That guy's been lecturing and a pompous fool for decades.
But he is lucky that basically no one died.
You're going on?
That's how I feel like with Cosby.
I read the Woody Allen court papers, and I came on there and I said, he did it. I'm sure. Danda, I said, it's overwhelming. I mean, I don't know that he did it, but it's overwhelming that he did. They wouldn't let him, babysitter was not permitted to leave him alone without her. He had his head in her lap. She had no underwear on. I mean, there's so many things there which make it look very, very bad. But Alec Baldwin, I only admired Alec Baldwin for the point that he came out and said, listen, you believe one child, but the brother says that it's not true, and you don't know. And he's right about that. And I admired that with all these people losing their careers and people signing petitions to get Matt Damon, that he wasn't afraid to say what he felt, even if I don't completely agree with him. Because I feel like, and this is what Andrew Sullivan said.
There are kids who are not getting health care right now. There are, like, dreamers who are going to get kicked out. Like, really, that's the cause, is like Woody Allen is,
yeah,
like...
Yeah, because it's a comedy. This is a comedy podcast. So we tend to focus on Woody Allen.
Well, it's a big thing right now. I mean, everybody's talking about Woody Allen.
I know.
Would you say that about the people who accuse Woody Allen?
I guess my larger point is, like, there's priorities, and, like, I'm trying to look at it from a systemic point of view.
But Alec Baldwin has a pretty good record on left-wing causes.
We're trying to have a discussion that's interesting.
He's gone both ways.
We're trying to have a discussion that's interesting.
Yeah, yeah.
There's no discussion about children needing health care. Yeah, they need health care.
I'm against.
We're trying to have a damn discussion.
That's true. I do try to pick out... No, but I admire that Alec Baldwin... I don't like Alec Baldwin. I never have. I think he's, like, a bully, and just his vibe, you know? But... he had a belief that is defensible. He's not saying anything stupid. He's saying something which a reasonable person could say at a time when saying it can get somebody ruined. And I admired somebody breaking that barrier now. Anytime somebody comes out and says something that they think, even if it's unpopular, as long as it's not what I consider over the line of what, you know, any reasonable person could say. And I think he did that. And Andrew Sullivan... You know, similarly in the New Yorker, you probably read Andrew Sullivan this week, he talked about this campus thing and all that, and he talked about the difference between, and I had said this, between what people are saying behind closed doors about the Me Too stuff and what they're forced to say publicly.
Well,
there's no nuance publicly,
but
none.
See, that is the hard thing, is like, as a female, I get criticized constantly by the left and the right, right? So, like, I'm getting yelled at by two, I'm talking very extreme groups
who have no nuance.
But I'm not really talking about Republican and Democrat. I'm talking about, like, you know,
two worldviews.
People who lack any abstract reasoning skills, basically, and just assume that having a conversation aloud and trying to figure these things out therefore makes you either racist or sexist or classist or whatever.
Both sides.
I agree with you.
I'm tired of both sides, but I'm extra hard on the liberals because for some reason I feel like I'm. It's like self-hatred because I should be liberal.
Yeah,
and they're ruining
be.
It for me because they're such horses' asses.
Why are they
like
horses' asses?
Stupid.
But, Dan, we're talking about, like, the extremes, right? You know, and, like, at the same time, like, I completely appreciate what you're saying and agree with you, but the larger problem is, like, they're not in charge. They have no leverage right now.
Yeah, they canceled my father-daughter dance.
First of all...
Is that true?
No, they didn't, but they want to. I went on a father-daughter dance last month.
You can't just dance with your
daughter. But you can go with Rick Chrome to the daddy twink dance.
You see, do you have children?
No.
Yeah. You know, this is talking about. This is not extreme. Like these are like wonderful moments, like a daddy-daughter dance.
I never did a daddy-daughter.
And when some jackass in Washington is like, "No, you're practicing gender discrimination." It's like, leave me the fuck alone. I'm having a daddy-daughter dance. You know,
we didn't have those.
I'm not voting for you guys ever if you want to take away my daddy-daughter dance.
Does the phrase daddy-daughter dance
sound a little creepy?
Not sound a little perverted to anybody?
Like, it sounds so creepy.
Creepy? A daddy a father-daughter dance?
Father-daughter. It doesn't sound quite as creepy as daddy daughter.
I went for the alliteration.
Or, you know,
I'm just saying.
But I've heard it called a daddy daughter dance, and it does sound a little bit creepy.
I even had a thought that.
And who's DJing the daddy daughter dance?
It's a cisgender. Anyway, I had a thought that, you know, there's a good argument now for, and this is probably like too much for this podcast, for a kind of unwinding of a lot of the things which have diluted federalism in the sense that the country's...
Wait, tell me about that.
The country is so divided now culturally that it might... And they say, how are we going to hold together? It might hold together better if we were really living under state governments and state ethos, much kind of like the way it used to be, than having Washington trying to homogenize this whole 300 million... population country that just doesn't see eye to eye and how it wants to live. So in Mississippi or wherever, let their state...
We can seize the South. Is that what you're saying? Like,
it's not just the South. Let Pennsylvania, which is pretty, you know, working class, let them have their daddy-daughter dance. And if California doesn't want it, let California stop it. But stop these... get rid of these New York Jews in Washington reaching into... communities
well,
and
first
say,
of all, but
the
even that isn't a group anymore, right?
I'm using it as a, you know, as a, what do you call it? There's a word for it.
Well,
anyway.
No, how long do you give the United States as in its current incarnation of 50 states and a federal government, how long do you give this country until it's no longer in that form?
I don't see it ending.
The answer is 100 years.
Okay. You're wrong.
Why? Why am John McLaughlin?
We're coming apart.
Exactly. Wrong.
We're coming apart at the seams.
Daddy Bloop Bloop.
What's that chick's name, that Italian chick with the Italian name? And I'm not a big politic guy. You know,
Maria Bartiromo?
No, she said something about her grandson wants to be black, and she was so proud of him.
Because Pelosi.
Pelosi. She said, my grandson said I wanted to be brown like my friend, and I'm so proud of him. What kind of madness is this? Well, you're fucking proud of your grandson because he's ashamed of who he is.
He's not ashamed. He's not ashamed. I actually...
He
go
just
ahead.
Wants to be...
Well, you agree with that? What,
first of all, Dan, how many Jewish guys do you know who are, like, desperate to have street cred? Come on.
Yeah, I did agree with it.
You
can you believe it?
I can't believe it.
I thought
it.
Pelosi got a bum rap. I'll tell you why I thought. First of all, no, she's pandering, of course. And she there's
but
no question.
But she's also saying white is she's basically
I'm
saying
tell you
it's
what she
bad
said.
To be white.
No, I didn't
no,
take it that way.
No,
I'm going to tell you how I took it.
And that's how she meant it.
Let me tell you how I took it. I took it at 30 years ago, there's no way a little white boy would have not gotten the message that you didn't want to be brown. But this boy is just naive to the idea of color completely in such a nice way that he said, I wish I were that color. Totally with guileless about what the implications of that were. And that's a nice direction
guileless?
That the country is moving.
Is he guileless? Or
am
is
I
he,
right? Is he, reasonable
I completely
I can be?
Agree with
Noam. Is he guileless or is he absorbing the current...
We don't know. We don't know. But I doubt it was a shame to be white. I doubt he was old enough to understand
but
that.
Well, I don't know. That seems to be seeping into the culture.
Ashamed
to be white. This notion that white people should be horrified by everything that has happened. And I'm not a white man by any reasonable definition.
You are paler than white, Dan. Be honest.
I am Caucasian.
If my daughter, now my kids are mixed, but they're pretty white. My wife's Indian and Puerto Rican. But my son, who's like the whitest one, said like, I wish I looked like so-and-so who was black. I would, I don't know if I'd go and say, I'm so proud of him. I wouldn't be proud of him, but I would say that's a nice, sweet thing
right.
that he quote, not seeing color, you
well,
know?
Because
like
you would give him the benefit of the doubt. And like the problem now
what,
is
What, are
like,
you ashamed, you white?
Like even now with this, like it's so two-sided. I don't even think it's two-sided. I feel like the Democrats are like completely fractured. I think the conservatives are completely fractured. Like it doesn't feel like it's like a two-sided country right now. It feels like chaos.
Steve wants to say something.
Well, you were actually really proud of your son when he didn't understand what black was. Remember like
something like that happened.
Yeah. Somebody...
Well, not understanding color is different than saying, I want to be another color.
No, he's saying he liked the way his
he's
friend
not
looked.
He's getting dreads all of a sudden. He just like...
Even if he wanted...
I took it to mean that he's absorbing, as I said...
It could be.
What
could
I
be right.
feel is becoming a sentiment that it is... That being white is in and of itself a shameful thing. And I do feel that there's a lot of that sentiment going on.
There is that sentiment. I just don't know if you can put it in a five-year-old.
Could it not also be that he sees...
Dan, you could get a tan.
He sees all of the people on MTV or whatever. In music videos, all of the famous pop stars are black now. All of the famous movie stars are black. So
well,
he associates being
a little
black
bit
with being cool.
Pelosi is reprehensible. She's many times like, a bunch of old white males. That disgusts me. And by the way, I thought of a kind of parallel with DACA. Isn't one of the theories of DACA, rightfully, I agree with this, that you can't punish innocence, that these children are born in this country... Can't you say the same thing about any white male? Like, what the fuck did I have to do with anybody white who did something bad? Like, why can I be blamed any more than a child who was born here for illegal immigrants? You're still kind of responsible for the fact that your parents broke the law when they came here. No. Every child is born innocent. White, black, brown, it doesn't matter.
But it does go back to the, like, I agree with you partly, and then on another part of it, I'm kind of like, there's a question of, like, complicitness. And, like, you were asking, like, as a boss, like, where's my role? And I don't think you should be asking other people that. I think you should be asking yourself that.
I am asking myself, but one of the ways I do that is by asking... people what they think. I mean, I don't, you know.
Veronica Mosey always has strong opinions
Veronica,
on these matters. If she wants to express them, we're certainly happy. Oh, you weren't listening?
Well, I was saying
I thought you were listening to with bated breath. Oh, never mind then.
You're not getting banged up.
Oh, yeah. You have some rights.
So I think just to recap, Trump needed to get rid of Porter. Porter
we
is
We need
a,
to get rid of Trump.
Porter's a creep. And you think President Pence will be better?
No.
Well,
the only thing with Pence that is like slightly better is that there's a logical element to it. Like, I don't agree with anything that Pence like.
You probably agree more with Trump.
Maybe. It depends on, like, what mood Trump is in. And, like, anyone who's, like, tweeting about how big or small his penis is to North Korea, like, it's over.
Well, I'll put it, this is a good way to frame it. If Trump pushed a button and the country could operate the way he wants it to, or Pence pushed a button and the country could operate the way he wants it to, I know you might not like either of them, but which would be worse? I think Pence's would be worse.
I think that Pence's would be worse, but the only reason I'm, like, because I think about this all the time.
You know?
I think about, like, roofing all of them. And I think that, like, with, like, Pence, at least, like, you know what he's doing. Like, there's some logic there. And even though I completely, like, listen, I would be dead. Like, I would be dead from that, from Mike Pence. So what I'm saying is it's not logic that I agree with. Because I have a pre-existing condition. I'm a female who enjoys, like, the company of having lunch with men. I'll even sit on an airplane next to a guy. That's how crazy liberal I am.
Would he kill you for that?
Like, yeah, but you have to understand that Obamacare was not that. Like, I mean, if we're going to talk health stuff, I had to research a ton for some appearances on TV. It's people think Obamacare was like, la, 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 free, everybody's happy and wonderful. There was a lot of clauses that were
it's still there.
Oh, completely, but the response wasn't like, how do we actually like fix this?
I'll tell you,
like,
one
that
thing.
Was not the response.
I'll
it was
tell you
like,
one
how
thing.
Do we just make it more complicated?
In terms
messy
of health care, this is not a solution, but I'll tell you that GoFundMe. If people like you,
you'll well, survive.
If people like you, you can raise
that's
a
fair.
Shit fucking ton of dough on GoFundMe.
Yeah, you should
say
that on stage.
I've
that's
seen
funny.
It
really funny, yeah, actually.
That's
well, a great joke.
But it does bring up a point that, you know,
I don't deserve to live.
People rely on friends. In the old days, people relied on their community.
But, Dan, that's
I'm not saying GoFundMe is a solution, but I've
Go
seen people raise a fuck ton of dough on GoFundMe if you got friends. And now you're looking
you're
at me
winning here,
like I'm
Dan.
A crazy person.
I mean,
no, it's just
bananas.
Like the community. It's just like the notion that community and friends and family can also step up to the plate.
Yeah, but like, you know, you have certain things that are so costly, and that it's like not fair to kind of put on a boss or on friends. Like, it makes no sense to me how small businesses should be paying health care for all of their workers. It's really expensive.
Preach, sister, preach.
It's nonsensical. Even if you don't have a moral compass, it's nonsensical in terms of like dollars and cents. People are going to all have, now that we do genetic testing, everyone's going to have a pre-existing condition, because assuming you have humans in your family, someone died of something. And then they're going to be able to be like, Amazon, Jeff Bezos
my
is going to be like, I'm going to raise your
I'll tell you what, people don't die in my family. They're miserable the whole way.
And they make everyone else miserable
but
along
they,
the way.
They stick around for a good while. They don't have any fun.
Yeah, well, anyway, they you know, this is the thing. Everybody's so worried about the midterms, but the truth is, at the height of their ability, you know, and their cohesiveness as a one-party ruling of all the branches of government, even then they couldn't get rid of Obamacare.
Yeah.
So the Republicans aren't, you know, they're not unified around the evilness as people would like to make them out to be. So I don't know what's going to change. I think actually if the Democrats win the House, it's the worst thing that ever could happen to them. Because
well, tell me why. Because I'm so worried that I think the Democratic Party, and I say this as a liberal, is going to implode.
This is the reason. It's just because if they control the House, then it will be easy for Trump, I think, to call their bluff. Like, he will propose, they can't just be the obstructionist party anymore, and he'll propose some sort of infrastructure, and it'll be awkward for them, and they might even have to, if Trump is smarter, they might even have to vote and pass something along with Trump. And then all of a sudden they're making Trump look good, like he can govern, like he is the deal maker that he claimed to be. And then he's going to run for re-election, and he's going to have a better case. And look at you. I had a Democratic Congress. I made a deal with them. And
that just happened right now, right? Like, Pelosi got slammed for the Dreamers, and not, like, you know, on one level, she was talking about him. It was the longest speech since 1909.
Well, they're in a bind now.
But
they have the argument. But you guys are the majority, so what are you blaming? What happens when they don't have that argument anymore? When they can't even say, you guys control all that? No.
Well, it's like the Republicans, right?
I'd say let, you know what, the best bet for the Democrats to win the presidency is not to win back the House. That's what I think.
When you say the word Dreamers, I get the sense that you're saying that this is a word that you use to describe, you know, the children of illegal immigrants as dreamers.
That's not her word. That's what we call
them. No, but
them.
I'm saying, yeah. like you're calling them.
Like, no, you're a Nazi.
Them, but no, what,
you may
who do
say
why?
That I'm
no, but come
dreamer.
On. Well, you don't call them dreamers. They're citizens.
That's the word. I
know
where
that's
came
the
from.
Word that everybody uses, but you're using it as though you really think these people are something special.
Okay, let's call it the brown interlopers.
They're just everybody. They're like everybody else.
Again, I don't think that they are the problem we need to be focusing on right now.
I know, but
I think
I'm
we need to be focusing on things like Putin. I think we need to be focusing on things like healthcare and like
we can focus on all these
sensible immigration.
What are you
going to
do about Putin? What are you going to do about Putin? Everybody's talking out of their ass on Putin. Listen, I'm going to tell you the whole Russia thing.
When Trump said that Americans are dreamers too, and everybody gave him shit, to me, that's one of the most sensible things he's ever said.
Well, I don't give him shit for that. If that's what you mean, listen, like, it does.
How can you give Trump any credit for anything?
Well, that's the problem. They can't give him credit for anything, and that doesn't sound.
Because I'm a Libra, if you really want to know. That's how we think. We are October 20th.
He's Talmudic.
That's how we think. I'm not going to condemn everything he said.
How did you get this? Is you know, it looks bad for Penn. You know,
why is that?
It looks bad for an Ivy League university.
That I'm looking at both sides of an issue.
To know that you graduated and know that most of us couldn't get in there.
Why does it make me look? What am I saying that you find so outrageous?
That you're a Libra? That's what you got out of your expensive Ivy League education?
Oh, I got a lot less than that. I learned about being a Libra at home. I didn't even learn about... No, Penn was a horrible time. I didn't learn a lot, and I didn't study very hard. And I got terrible grades, and that's why... One of the reasons I'm in stand-up comedy.
Can I cure the Russia problem for you?
Yes.
You're aware that the Russians took Crimea.
Yeah.
Now, you know that Crimea was always Russian. Hear me out. You know it was always Russian. The reason it was the only reason it became part of Ukraine was because Khrushchev transferred it to Ukraine in some sort of national demonstration. More importantly, it's part of everybody knows it's part of the fundamental self-interest, national interest of Russia because it's an outlet to the sea. Is it the is it the Black Sea? I don't know. One of the seas. Point being, Russia is never, ever going to give back Crimea. Ever. Everybody knows that. So sanctions until Russia gives back Crimea are sanctions till the end of time. So it's anybody smart is thinking, how do we get ourselves out of these sanctions? But the fact is, as long as these sanctions are in place, you can scream and yell at Russia, and they're going to try to hack every single election they can.
Yeah.
So I believe if you really are worried about Putin, you have to make a deal, which is okay. We're gonna end the sanctions. You're gonna agree to keep your nose clean going forward and no longer hack into our elections. And you need some sort of package, and that's what grown-ups need to do because you can stomp your feet and scream all you want about Putin. We have no leverage. The only leverage we have over that man. Are these sanctions
and pictures of him with topless on a horse?
But that's
my husband dresses like that every weekend. I don't see what the problem is.
that's my back of the matchbook calculation on the Russian thing. I mean, what do we think we're gonna do? Drop a bomb on Russia? Not do that
problem.
Anymore. We have no leverage over them except the sanctions.
But that's the problem with Trump threatening, with nuclear arms with North Korea, and it is so clear that he's in bed with Russia in really inappropriate ways. And I don't think that he values how serious it is, how serious a threat Putin is.
Well,
I don't think
the people
it's just
around
about Crimea.
Him must certainly know. I mean,
they don't
McMaster.
Seem to care.
Well, of course they care. We don't know what they're doing in these intelligence agencies.
By the way, happy Valentine's.
Debasing all of the.
Happy Valentine's, everybody. By the way,
I don't think he
it's
colluded.
Romantic,
with, I don't think
it?
He colluded with Russia. I don't believe he colluded with Russia.
Are you serious?
Yeah, because I can't believe every dumb fact is leaked except the real important fact. If they had the important fact. Number one, it would have come out again. Number two, I'll give you another argument. If I was Mueller and I found out that the president of the United States was a Manchurian president, I wouldn't think I could sit on this because every day he's in office is an unacceptable national security risk.
Yeah,
you need to get that out.
That
you need to get that out immediately if you know that's true. Immediately.
Well, no. This goes back to what you were saying before. It's trying to create due process and to look at this in a real effective way.
No, if they have a tape recording or a fact or a bank statement or something where they say, listen,
yeah, but you know how
we got it. You bring it immediately and say, listen, we found this. Everything stops now. We have to impeach him now because tomorrow he could do something that we can never recover from.
A lot of people feel that way.
But I'm saying if Mueller had him dead to rights, I don't see how they could sit on it if he's really... in bed with Putin. Maybe I'm wrong.
Well, maybe we need outside investigators. Maybe we can't rely on Congress and
And now
Mueller,
I'm no conspiracy theorist, but the stuff that's coming out with these dossiers and Sidney Blumenthal and everything, I just.
So then you don't believe it when people are bringing evidence forward?
I haven't heard any evidence of anything. I've heard like there was a meeting where they offered some dirt on Hillary, and then it kind of just went up in smoke. I mean, that doesn't nothing for them to be proud of, but it's not in bed with Russia. It was an unsolicited, from what we know about it, unless you know something else, it was this, they got this call and they went to take the meeting and it lasted a certain amount of time and nothing came of it. Now, there could be more to it, but I don't know anything more. So how, I don't know anything, like if you have an opinion that something more than that happened,
yeah,
that's just a matter of your religion. That's not something you can, well, that's like saying, you know, the earth is 3,000 years old. You just know it, but I don't know how you know it.
It's like when you go back to the Mike Pence versus Trump thing, like, yeah. At least with Pence, like, and again, like Pence hates every single bone in my butt. Like he still sees my horns from being Jewish. Like they are there, and he wants us all to go to Israel and have it explode. Like
that's such a terrible thing to say. But go, I'll let that slide. Go ahead.
But that's what he's hoping for. That the Messiah will come if we all.
Well, we're all hoping the Messiah will come.
There's only one party that boos Israel at the conventions, just for the record, and that's a Democratic convention. But go ahead.
Okay, I'm going to pretend that is not happening.
True. Go ahead.
Because it's not true. but at least with him, he doesn't have, like, all these hotels and all these golf courses. Like, there's so many different things going on with Trump where he's, like, advertising constantly for his companies and you never know.
We don't believe Pence is corrupt.
I think he might. I may disagree with everything he has to say, but no, I do not think he's corrupt.
Yeah,
and there's no part of Trump that I feel like is kosher in any capacity whatsoever.
How long do you think Trump is going to last?
I'm beginning to think he's going to last at least 4 years.
I know, maybe eight.
I don't think he'll last eight, but I wouldn't say like it's ridiculous. I mean, I could go either way.
I think even moderate Republicans, though, they don't like him. I think a lot of people are embarrassed and just kind of like what. What's going on? This is not because
everybody's embarrassed.
No Republicans I know like him. That is totally true. Like either they like wanted cheaper taxes basically and voted for him because they just have no soul and they have a lot of money, or they're racist.
My father is extremely like ultra conservative, and he said he's 80 and he was like, yeah, you know, I think, I voted for his policies, but I think he's a bit of a psychopath. And
yeah.
I was like, oh, wow. My dad says that. That's pretty.
But they like the policies.
Yeah, it's the policies. That's the problem.
You know?
I think most people are single voter. Oh, shit.
You know, who's the waitress, by the way, for the comedians tonight? I need to order my roast chicken now because it takes a half hour. I want it to be done by the time. Mert, can you get the waitress if it's possible? What's her name again? The comedy waitress. Hello, my sweet. Yes, I'd like the roast chicken, and I'd also like carrots and asparagus and the horseradish potatoes. Yes.
She and I actually agree on the fact that Trump is not a racist.
I'm trying to order chicken.
Keith.
Whoa, whoa.
Thank you. And yeah, that's it, and nothing to drink.
Who agreed?
Katie.
Wait, hold on. Let me give you your tip.
That is not true at all. But I did wear my Dansko clogs so that Keith could make fun of them because Keith always makes fun of my feminine
Can I just
shoes.
Say something here?
Yes.
Can I have $10 back, please?
They're very fairy.
What is it, Dan?
That's what I wanted
to
say.
That was a $100 bill, by the way.
$10 back.
Okay, am I single? Obviously.
It's Valentine's Day, everybody. Let's lighten it up a bit.
Okay, we got to wrap it up. So go ahead. Lighten it up.
Now, the rest of us, I think, are alone. Noam had dinner with his wife.
Yeah.
And they're trying to keep that together as best they can. Keith, are you
just
with anybody?
Got off a flight.
Are you with anybody right now? Do you have a Valentine?
No.
You don't have a Valentine, so you're all alone. He's here
with you, Dan. That's been all that matters.
There you go.
Well, it's a bro Valentine. It's a bromantine.
Valentine.
Veronica's, of course, married with children. What did your hubby do for Valentine's Day?
Nothing. I told him not to. I was like, I don't really care that much. We'll buy some.
You really don't care?
I'm not a big Valentine's Day person.
That wasn't preemptive. Like, you probably knew, you know, like he wouldn't do anything anyway, so let me just tell him he doesn't.
No. He always buys chocolate and flowers, and I'm like, just like, just don't.
No, just have enough with your fucking chocolate and flowers.
It's
I get
boring.
It.
And yeah. Katie, you're single now?
I don't really care.
It's rote.
I mean, now. What do you mean always?
I'm not doing spots, so obviously I don't really care.
Oh, sorry, we're all talking at the same time.
You're single?
Yeah.
How old are you?
Old enough for you not to ask.
Come on.
I'm kidding.
Ask me now.
How old are you, Keith?
38.
Keith looks like he's 25. Who cares?
There you go. That's what I'm talking about.
Now, Katie, you were dating a man. I remember a black guy you were dating
a
while back.
Whoa.
Yeah. I stayed in that relationship way too long because the sex was so good.
I don't like to hear you say that, Katie. I
don't
have that.
No, you're like to hear that.
You're like a sister to me.
Everybody stays in a relationship longer than they should.
I know, but it's not because the sex is usually that good. I mean, it was just divine.
When you should get married, that'll all stop. Don't worry about it.
Okay, good. Well, yeah. I'm, you know.
If you get married, then you won't have to worry about the good sex thing happening because you won't care anymore.
I'm ready for it.
Wow.
Katie, are you actively
She reminds me of my wife.
Katie, are you actively looking?
Listen, I don't mean to be, but you know, you're just tired.
I'm not actively looking.
Why are you not actively looking? Now, is it a black man your thing now?
No.
Whoa.
Tell the truth.
Katie, once you go black...
No. You learned your lesson.
Once you go junior, you come right back.
We just said that sex is not going to be a major priority.
No.
She got jungle fever, Keith.
How long were you guys together?
We were together for like 3 years.
But why did you break up?
Because he was completely emotionally he was emotionally unavailable. He wanted to marry a woman of color, which I understand.
Why do you understand that? That's racist.
Wait a minute. You want Jordan knowing that this is what he wanted?
I'm telling you, the sex was that good.
That amazing?
No, why is that racist?
I only want to marry a white woman?
It's his preference.
Preference.
He wanted to marry a woman of color.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. He wanted to marry someone who had more in common with him.
I don't think it's racist, but I think that if it's good for the goose, good for the gander. I think anybody should be able to say that. But go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, I want to marry.
Who do you want to marry, Keith? The Natterman. That's who you want to marry.
No, I want to marry a nice young lady, about around 21, 22 years old.
She's gonna love you.
Huh?
Fertile.
Yeah.
You want to have another kid?
Yeah, I can take three more.
Three more?
Really?
I
went to the doctor. I got three more with me.
Three more in the chamber.
Yeah.
Well, you can freeze your sperm also just in case.
No, it's good.
It's still good. It's good to go.
Yeah, it's good.
I froze my eggs. I want to sell them at a farmer's market.
I was
just like,
Katie.
What happens?
That there's going to be like freezer burn on them and
can
stuff.
Katie, can I ask you this without being me too'd or whatever? Would you have my babies? Two of them. I only want to give you
if
two.
If I could.
I don't want to save one for somebody else. You said you froze your eggs.
Yeah, you want to use the eggs? You're welcome to.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm welcome.
Next week on the podcast, let's get a petri dish. Just put it out.
How many eggs did you freeze?
Two.
You give them both to Keith Robinson?
I mean, they're of no use either way.
What the hell is wrong?
Wait, where are they right now?
They're in
your freezer. Are you that cheap? Is that
U-Haul
storage? Pretty much. I mean, they're at NYU.
Wow.
You only freeze two.
So they're going to be liberal.
Wait a minute.
Liberal eggs.
Dan, I only froze that many because that's how many came out.
Oh.
I can't afford to do a second round. It's really expensive.
Now what do I
do? Go fund me.
Keith will pay.
I don't have enough friends.
Keith has got a deal now with Kevin Hart. He'll pay for the eggs.
Oh, good.
How do I do this? Do I go to NYU, knock on the door?
Lazarus said I could have her eggs.
Is that some sort of passcode?
But would you carry the baby?
No, I can't.
You can't even carry the baby?
No.
We'll find somebody to carry.
Yeah, maybe you can, Dan. I heard that there are men who can carry babies.
Men can carry babies.
Can't carry
the end of your dick. Right in the end of your dick.
So you're going to get a surrogate to carry your little half-black baby.
No, probably. If I'm lucky enough, I'll meet someone who has kids or I'll adopt, if I'm lucky.
It's not fertilized.
Yeah, those eggs are not fertilized.
I understand that.
All right, well, you just said something.
Keith will fertilize them, and then a surrogate will.
Okay. I wasn't sure the
assumption. I get the egg and just jerk off.
What do you mean by fertilized? What are you talking?
It's not a baby.
I'm kidding. I know.
Listen.
I got a 5 on my AP bio.
How many people are going to have omelets tonight? None.
Brown eggs.
I am.
Anyway, well, all right. So anything else? Tell us more about the sex with the black guy. Well, we have a few seconds a few minutes. Well.
How amazing it was!
What was it amazing about?
Yeah,
was it your first black
years?
Guy?
It may mean that like I was having underwhelming sex before then.
That's what I'm asking.
Yeah.
Did he shine among many black guys that you've been with, or just like been with a bunch of white guys and then the black guy? And oh my god,
she's been on a lot of white guys too.
Yeah, but if you're with Puerto Ricans, that's a tough toss up though. Puerto Rican men can really go to town down in Florida. Yeah, they're amazing.
You know, I've been given good reports, not to toot my own.
They're paid to tell you what you want to hear, Dan.
No, I've been given good reports.
But what was it that
I
made
this? I want to see Dan's Yelp review.
Exponentially better.
You're very good.
He was just
so big.
He was comfortable in his own skin. And like, he loved sex. He was just a very comfortable in his own skin kind of guy. I think I dated a lot of neurotic Jewish guys who were like not comfortable in their own skin.
That's a problem. Well, those damn Jews.
Don't lump me into that category. Although I am neurotic, I know.
And Jewish.
And Jewish. I do know how
Dan always thought he was erotic and Jewish.
Show a girl a good time. And I don't.
How do you show a girl a good time, Dan?
Enthusiasm and
spirit,
and also I don't come fast.
Oh,
yeah, that don't mean nothing.
No. I don't like that.
Keith does.
Sometimes I like to just get it like done. Do you want? My neighbors upstairs have sex, and they sound like they're. It's a washing machine. I swear to God, this is what you hear. Bugga da 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 bugga. And then once in a while, the girl will go, it's the most fucking annoying thing ever. And I'm always like, can you finish? It's like fucking 45 minutes of pounding. Who wants to be pounded for 45 minutes?
No, I'm stopping a player
minutes?
Hater.
Yeah.
I'm not. But I don't want it.
She's
you ever want
to
be pounded?
To do.
No, but pounded for 45, pounded. Not a combination of foreplay and all kinds of fun stuff. I'm talking about just plain old pounded for 45 minutes.
No, you know, maybe she likes it that way.
That's what I'm saying.
Maybe they have a washing machine up there.
At the end of the day.
Where does the sound come from?
If he wants to go down on me for 45 minutes,
yeah,
that
that's
lovely.
A different story, yes.
And do the
but
dishes
pure
and
pounding,
the
wash.
No. All right.
So. Sorry.
I like well, this. Come on, keep it going.
Ladies, show's getting interesting. So, okay, last thing. What if you could describe the one thing that made this guy that you stayed with too long because the sex was so good different sexually than all the other men that you'd been with in your life? What was this one quality which he exceeded the other men on?
I'm going to tell you what it was before she even asked.
Okay.
She is more in love with him than he was with her.
Did he get that right?
I mean, it could be true. I think
trust me.
That I've probably dated a lot of underwhelming characters, and so there he stood out. Because they only got better after that, I will say. Like, I progressively dated better guys after that.
Sexually?
In every capacity.
Makes it low self-esteem.
Absolutely.
And you're a female who was in comedy? That's so crazy.
A lot of times good sex is just a question of not good. So much of technique or of physical movements, but of just mindset. And if you were into him more, the sex is going to be better.
Yes,
if you're not
was.
Turned on by him, no matter how physically gifted he might be.
Everything.
But there
he
is
did.
A physical gifted side to sex. Come on. There,
no, but I think
there is
that,
a physical side. No, there's
but,
also a very much
long,
a psychological
he was a professional.
Side.
The physical don't last that long. 3 years.
For a guy, definitely not.
Yeah.
But for a girl,
so
it might last.
She was like, she was chasing him. She loved this dude. He put it to her one time good, and then she was real.
It's like automatic
she was
pilot.
Chasing. Yeah.
Like a, you know, when you like, so in college, you got to do really well on your first essay or exam, and then hope that you get graded on automatic pilot.
Could be.
So that's what you're saying about sex, that the guy has to be like super good the first time, and then after that.
There is something to that. There is something to that because if you're super good the first time, if the next time you're not so good, they won't judge you as harshly because what you've already proven yourself.
First impression.
They might even blame themselves.
I do that like I do comedy. I start out good. And then, like, mediocre the rest of the 15 time.
15 years later, he's still riding. He's still getting spots on it. What are you talking about?
They know.
I saw him in 1979. He killed. Let me show you his star search reel. All right. Well, that was fun. I don't know. For some reason, the way you were described to me, I thought you were going to come in here like all with guns ablazing, like.
Well, is
you
she
see me with
she's
a gun?
A cool,
no. Was she part of your mandate cool to Stephen to find a crazy feminist?
No, we were told to get off the Me Too thing. I don't know. He books people, and I don't even know. Well, why did you book her, Stephen? What was your thinking? She's a great guest. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah,
great.
I read a cool article, and
which one?
I don't remember. Okay. And I pitched it to Dan, Dan said
cool.
Yes.
Oh, Dan said yes.
I don't even remember, but...
And you keep saying this, like, people don't like the Me Too thing. You got one email about that.
Now
but it was from an important
like,
person.
Now you sound like someone with low self-esteem.
What was the email? What was it?
Get off the Me Too stuff. I'm sick of this Me Too
well,
stuff.
Was it Harvey Weinstein?
I think that...
seriously.
I think that Me Too is the gift that keeps on giving in terms of interesting discussion. I mean, there's so many. I mean, now we got Scott Baio now accused, not just of Nicole Eggert, but of another one of the Powell kids.
Charles in Charge was not bad enough.
Dude, I had a poster of him and would have killed for him to be in charge of my virginity.
Is that true?
When I was four. Yes.
Well, he was a beautiful young
you
boy.
You wanted Charles in charge of you?
I did.
Look,
everybody
liked
Scott Baio.
First
of
all,
if it was a 14-year-old girl with a hot, guy with a hot chick, right? Same ages. Nobody would have batted an eyelash.
But the thing is, like, everything was inappropriate. Like, everything. There were so many teachers in my school dating.
Yeah, same here.
Students.
One of my soccer coach in high school married the star soccer player.
Mac Roll.
She was 17. He was like 35.
I mean, it was I'm not excusing it, but I am saying that it was a completely inappropriate time.
Yeah, but I mean, it was a law.
Well, don't hire men to babysit your kids.
They're not babysitting in high school.
No, I'm saying Charles in Charge.
That was such a leap. Like, you just went from
No, I'm getting back to Charles in Charge.
No. This is the thing.
You don't have shitty television shows.
I really don't understand why people wait so long. I really don't. I don't understand why a woman, I will say this, would have contact with someone who she felt sexually assaulted her or whatever. I don't understand why she had continued contact with him in different situations throughout their career.
So you don't believe her?
I believe.
You're skeptical. It's okay to be skeptical.
No. What I'm saying is I believe that now she looks back and says that was inappropriate. I think at the time she just felt she was fucking around with somebody and it wasn't a big deal. Now she looks back and is like, whoa, I was really young, which is, that I guess that can happen. But I'm saying, why would you, if you really felt this, why would you continue it? I think
if you look at like Rob Porter's wife or something like that, if you look at like domestic abuse, that's a whole different thing. And like people are like in a really screwed up. But
yeah, it's also a woman being. Yes, absolutely.
I think we would do it. This is going to be, you know, this is like the counterintuitive in a way, but I think we would do a lot more good if we worried less about the inappropriate things and worried about the real fucking criminal, coercive dudes who are forcing women, either professionally with violence or without, to do stuff they don't want to do. I don't think we have enough bandwidth to start that. Well, you, like the Aziz thing and all the things like that.
Yeah.
The things which could have been handled in one way or another. I would say, woman saying, no, I don't want to. You know, leave those aside. I don't think that's our big problem with society. It's the guys who are taking advantage of their position or their strength or whatever it is and forcing women to do things they really don't want to do.
Well,
forcing is the word.
If Bayo did what he's accused of, he was taking advantage of his position. If he was indeed doing those things as an older man who was kind of, not her boss, but I think was the star of the show, one might argue that he was taking advantage of his position.
I don't know the facts. Possibly, but I'm just saying. Like when I heard inappropriate, oh, it was inappropriate. Well, you know, what can I do? It's
but like when you have the gymnastics teacher, like 100%.
Yeah, that's right. If he did those things, it was criminal. It was criminal if he did do those.
So that's his criminal. That's not inappropriate. That's criminal.
But back to what you were talking about with like justice system and media or whatever. You know, Megyn Kelly's big thing is now just everybody that comes out as a victim is on her show the next day, and she had Tony. I always want to say Tony Danza. I confused the two of them. I'm sorry, but who's
not
the boss? You never know.
Scott Baio,
the boss. He could come out.
She had Scott Baio on.
She had the woman on. Oh. Well, I can remember
Nicole Eggert.
Nicole Eggert.
Don't remember her name, but we remember her name.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Because we were all in love with her at the time.
Do you remember Pinky Tuscadero?
Yeah,
I remember.
She babysitted me when I was a child.
Is that true?
Yeah. That's how old I am. All right, can
that
we?
Should be on your IMDb.
He doesn't have one, but
I do have one.
Do you have one?
Yeah, I absolutely do.
Okay.
We're ready. I think we're gonna wrap this up.
Yeah.
I didn't get to tell you the stories about the Comedy Central thing, but I guess I'll tell you.
That's
what's happening.
No. You have to still tune in. You have to tune in next week. Good night, everybody.
Let's hear it. What happened? Hello.